Hallelujah. Praise God. The manifestation of the Spirit, and this is part 9. The manifestation of the Spirit, and this is part 9. I hope you have your writing materials, your pen, your notepad. Help me with this fan, it's disturbing my Bible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we've been looking at tongues. That's where we ended the last time. Looking at the subject of tongues. To see what the Bible has to say. A lot of controversies, myths and fallacies surround the subject of tongues. And that's why we need to look into scriptures to have a biblical submission. Amen. A biblical definitive appraisal of this subject. So today we're going to be examining the myths concerning tongues. Myths. Not meat. As far. Glory to God. Myths concerning tongues. So let's write. Number one. Tongues is a supernatural enablement to speak another man's language. It's a myth. You know, the idea that tongues is not just for, it's not just you speaking a language that people don't know. In fact, people have made a mockery of tongues by saying, gibberish tongues. Just be saying nonsense. In the old days, praise God, you begin to wonder what they mean by those old days. In the early church, back then, it was not this kind of tongues. And they make mockery of Pentecostals particularly, derides them by saying that tongues is language you have to understand. So that means I come into your assembly and people talking in tongues must be saying something I understand. They must be speaking a language that is known. Hallelujah. And that's funny. Look at Mark chapter 16. Is tongues a supernatural enablement to speak another man's language? No. Mark 16. Glory to God. In fact, after today's teaching, if you still hold on to that stronghold or mindset, you need to be born again. Mark 16. And I'll read from verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. So listen, the argument is that people are meant to go and preach the gospel. They are meant to take the gospel to the entire world. And because of that, they needed a supernatural enablement to speak the languages of the world. Do you get that? So you can put that in your notes. That's the argument. The argument that says tongues must be a supernatural enablement to speak other people's language. That argument is premised on the fact, or on this submission, that the apostles were required to take the gospel to the whole world. The apostles were required to take the gospel to the whole world. You know, Jesus says, go into the world and preach to every creature. So these were Jewish guys that were required to take the gospel to the entire nations of the world. So that's the argument. So they were required to take the gospel to the whole world, and they needed supernatural utterances. To reach the nations of the world. If you are just joining this broadcast, that's not what I'm saying. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is that this is what people have said. You know, you could join the broadcast and you'd be like, you think that's what I'm saying? So we have to clarify. The idea is that apostles were meant to take the gospel to the whole nation. And, you know, they had different languages, and they needed supernatural utterances to reach the nations of the earth. Let's keep writing. Now, this has no biblical support. This has no what? Biblical support. Now, let's investigate this. What is the necessity? Or let me say, why is that even necessary in the first place? To have them speak in the language of the whole world. Different people in the whole world. So that they can reach them with the gospel. Abi? So it sounds like a very sound argument. But here's the problem. The language of the whole world in those days were common languages. Hallelujah. Just like in our world today, is there an official language that many nations are aware of and have learned? So in every generation, there's always a common language. Glory to God. So back in Bible days, there were three major languages. We had Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Write it down. Back in Bible days, we had three major languages. Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So, you know, when there's a common language, or where there are common languages, there's no need to have a supernatural ability to reach people in other nations. There's already a language that connects you guys together. Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. I'm not talking from my head. Luke 23. Verse 38. Luke 33 verse 38. You find that was the reason why Pilate had to write the inscription in those three languages. Because they were the prominent languages of those times. Luke 23 verse 38. Glory to God. Luke 23:38. Are we all there? So what does it say? And an inscription also was written over him in letters of what? Greek, Latin, and what? And Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Because everyone that passed by the cross would understand either of Hebrew, Latin, or Greek. Glory to God. You find the same account at John 19:20. The same account. So it's either you understand Hebrew, or you understand Greek, or you understand Latin. You must speak one of the languages. Now listen, I'm not saying those were the only three languages. There were languages in the world. But those were the three common languages that everybody adopted. Praise God. And let's see more evidences. Let's write now. This is why Paul, in his letters, often contrasted Jews with Greeks. This is why Paul, in his letters, often contrasted Jews with Greeks. You know, it will seem as though he's talking about just Greek guys. But you know, that word Greek was used for every Gentile nation. Hallelujah. So this is why Paul often contrasted the word Jew with Greek. Because the word Greek was used to define all Gentile nations. Glory to God. The word Greek was used to what? Describe all Gentile nations. Romans 1:14. Let's see this quickly. So you don't say, they needed another utterance. They needed an ability of the Spirit to speak so they can reach the nations. No, the nations already had common languages. Not only that, the nations could speak both, or let me say three of those languages, or at least two. It's either you are speaking Hebrew or you are speaking Greek. And you are going to see this clearly from the scriptures. Romans 1:14. What does it say? I'm a debtor both to what? Both to Greeks and to what? And to barbarians. Glory to God. Look at Romans 1:16. What does it say? I am not ashamed of what? The gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. First to, and then to what? Who are the Greeks? Gentiles. Amen. Look at this other place. Romans chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. Look into your Bible. Romans 2, 9 to 10. Glory to God. Romans chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. So it's a fallacy that they needed the ability of the Spirit to reach the nations of the earth. Romans 2, 9 to 10. Are we all there? Let's read together. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Who are the Greeks again? Gentiles. Every nation of the earth apart from the Jews. They were the ones that Paul was using this word for. It was a collective term. For all the nations of the earth. You know why? Because though they were not Greeks, they were Greek-speaking nations. Hallelujah. They were not Greek nations. But they were Greek-speaking nations. They had adopted the language of the Greek. You know, there's something called word power. What was the word power in those days? Rome. So if you want to be at peace in the world as a nation, you want to enjoy the favor of the world power, then you have to submit to certain things. In fact, you go as long as not just adopting their language, even adopting their currency. Glory to God. Because that's the world power. So Greek was a collective term for all Gentile nations. Romans chapter 3 verse 9. Amen. Romans 3, 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we are previously charged both Jews and what? And Greeks, that they are all under sin. You know, the way he's using these terms already shows you that the word Greek is for every other nation. Hallelujah. It is not just for those in Greece. It is for every other nation. Hallelujah. Because in those days, if you were speaking Greek and you were not a native of Israel, you were considered to be a Gentile. That was the only other alternative. Look at this other place. Romans 10, 12. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10 and verse 12. Let's all read together. For there is what? One to go. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. There's no distinction between Jews and what? And Greeks. Next place. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 to 24. Sufficient proofs from the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 to 24. Hallelujah. Are we all there? He says, for the Jews request what? A sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block. And to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So how many, who are the people God is calling? Jews and what? And Greeks. Are you a Greek? Huh? According to scriptures, are you a Greek? Yes. Hallelujah. Do you speak Greek? So, that means there has to be a historical perspective to understanding these things. Because in those days, there was no English. I hope you know. Do you know that was the reason why when they were translating scriptures, what they had to translate the New Testament to is what? Greek. Hallelujah. Because that was the prominent language in those days. So you have scriptures in Hebrew and Greek. Then it got to a point, they translated to Latin Vulgate. Hallelujah. And then it became a struggle for English speakers, when English was becoming the prominent language, for English speakers to understand the Bible. And that's why we had different translations translating to English. By the way, it was considered heresy to translate the Bible from other languages to English in those days. And that was one of the evils of the papacy, the Pope, the Catholic Church. Because they were trying to shield men from having an understanding of scriptures themselves. In fact, the guy that was the first translator of the Bible to English, he had died when they brought up a law that everybody that translates the Bible to English language must be burned. And they went to exhume his corpse and they burnt it. To let them know they were serious. Praise God. But people kept translating. So, those were the languages in those days. And Greek was a prominent language among Gentile nations. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10, 32. Why do we have several verses of the Bible? I mean, we have seen it. Let's move on. No. Because it's in the Bible. Praise God. And you have sufficient proofs and evidence. 1 Corinthians 10:32. What does it say? Give no offense either to the Jews or to what? The Greeks or to the church of God. So those are the only three categories. The Jews or the Greeks or what? Because the church of God is neither Jew nor Greek. Praise God. So give no offense to either the Jews or the Greeks or the church of God. Let's move on. 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Hallelujah. What does it say? For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. Whether Jews or what? Greeks. We all. Galatians 2:3. Galatians 2:3. Galatians 2:3. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and this occurred because of false brethren, secretly brought in. So Titus was a Greek, but not deaf. It's not necessarily that Titus was a citizen of Greece. Praise God. Those were the other, that was the other definition of every Gentile in those days. Glory to God. Last one, Galatians 3. Okay, second to last one. Galatians 3:28. Galatians 3:28. Are we all there? Let's read together. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Greek and Jews. Colossians 3:11. Is this very clear? Alright. It will get clearer. Colossians 3:11. Same thing. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in what? In all. Glory to God. Now let's write this. The word Greek. It's amazing. We're about to check the Greek word for Greek. Praise God. So let's write. The word Greek is from the Greek word Ellen. The word Greek is from the Greek word Ellen, because Greek is an English word. So it's a translation of the original word Greek. So the Greek word for Greek is Ellen. L-H-E-L-L-E-N. You must have come across something like that in Acts. Hellenist. Yeah. Ellen. That's the original word for Greek. Helen. H-E-L-L-E-N. Which could mean a Greek by nationality. It could mean a Greek by nationality. A Greek by nationality. Number two, in a wider sense, the name embraces all nations. In a wider sense, the name embraces all nations apart from the Jews. In a wider sense, the name embraces all nations apart from the Jews that made the language, customs, and learning of the Greeks their own. That made the language, customs, and learning of the Greeks their own. Glory to God. So in a wider sense, the name is that it applies to every other nation apart from the Jews that made the customs and made the language, the customs, and the learning of the Greeks their own. Let's see Acts of Apostles chapter 6 and verse 1. So many times you need to probe things that are said. They sound very good. I mean, for us to reach the world, we need to be able to have an enablement by the Spirit. The apostles needed supernatural utterance. There's no way they will have reached the world without... No. It's not true. Hallelujah. They did not need any other extra utterance or extra ability of the Spirit to reach the world, because there was a language. Glory to God. There was a language. So look at Acts of Apostles chapter 6, verse 1. Acts of Apostles 6, verse 1. If you have the NKJV version, let's read together. Pay attention to instruction. If you have the NKJV version, let's read together. Now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by what? By the Hellenists. Because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So who were the Hellenists? Do you have an NKJV? Who else has another version apart from NKJV? Revised? What does it say? The LN, okay, still the same. Who has a different interpretation? Okay, who has a KJV? KJV, right? Okay, so what does it say? In those days when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of what? The Grecians against the Hebrews. So you see, who are the Hellenists again? The Grecians, those are the Greek guys. Now, the Amplified says, now about this time when the number of disciples was greatly increasing, complaint was made by the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking Jews, against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked and neglected in the daily distribution. So of course there are two schools of thought. It's either they were Greek speaking Jews or they were proselytes. Amen. Mind you, up until this time they were not reaching Gentiles. You know, when did the church begin to reach Gentiles? Acts 10, right? Acts 10, when Peter was given an instruction to go to the house of Cornelius. Do you remember he argued with God? Not really argue as per, hey, are you sure it's the Spirit of God? All that kind of thing. So then, look at, even after that, Acts of Apostles 11:19. Look at this. Even after that experience and encounter, it didn't change much of the operation of the early church. Men still continued in their ways. Amen. Acts 11 and verse 19. Are we all there? Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the what? But the Jews only. So they kept reaching out to just the Jews. In fact, at Acts 15, some people came down from Judea, having seen that there were Gentiles who had embraced the ministry or embraced the word of God or the gospel. They came and told them they had to be converted to Judaism. That is, the only way they were going to accommodate those guys into the church was when they converted to Judaism. And that means they will become proselytes. Amen. You know, proselytes were taken as Jewish citizens. It's like a second citizen. Amen. So, but they had converted. You know, to convert to Judaism in those days is not converting to Christianity. You were embracing the nationality of the Jews. Because Judaism was not separate from the nation. You know, today now, Christianity is not for any nation. So you can be a Nigerian and be a Christian, right? You can be an American and be a Christian. In those days, if you were to be a Judaizer, you must be an Hebrew person. Do you understand that? That was the reason for converting them through what? Physical circumcision. What is physical circumcision? The distinction between Jews and Greeks. Is that clear? So, proselytes were like Jews already admitted into the whole system. Glory to God. Are you lost? Okay. So, let's write. So, Jews could speak Greek and Greeks could speak Hebrew. Jews could speak Greek and Greek could speak Hebrew. Greeks could speak Hebrew. You want to say the Bible was translated from Hebrew and Greek? That's what we are saying. That those who were the original recipients were speaking those languages. So Jews could speak Greek and Greeks could speak what? Hebrew. Hebrew is another word for the Jews. Hence, there was no need for any supernatural enablement. Hence, there was no need for any supernatural enablement to preach to other nations. Hence, there was no need for any supernatural enablement to preach to other nations. Hallelujah. Do you remember that Peter went to preach to the house of Cornelius? So, how did he preach to them? Do you know there was no interpreter? He had no need of an interpreter. He went there and it's because there was a common language. Do you get that? There's a common language. So, look at other examples. Acts 14 verse 1. So don't be deceived by sweet talks. Like I said last week, the way people present those things, they always sound reasonable. Someone says, can the Holy Spirit make you speak in another person's language? How is this hard to understand? No, it's not that it's hard to understand. It's not biblical. Praise God. Because that's not what Bible calls tongues. And we've said this before, if such a thing happens at all, it cannot be classed as tongues. That would be a miracle. Amen. That would be a miracle. And such a miracle was not even recorded in the Bible, in the New Testament. Acts of Apostles. You won't find a place where they needed supernatural utterance. And we can make a case for that, or, you know, make a case against that, as the case may be, and say it was because they had no need. Amen. That is, you could find yourself in Turkey today, and you have to preach the gospel, and then you are enabled by the Spirit to speak in their language. You know, but it's amazing because going on after that encounter experience, you will need to learn how to speak Turkey. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say, every time you now come to church, say, you now want to be, whoa. You speak Yoruba. Hallelujah. You're talking. you will speak Yoruba eventually. So eventually, what is needed for preaching the gospel is having an understanding or a grasp of the language. You must be able to communicate intelligibly. How do I even know what I'm saying? Amen. How do I know what I'm saying? Do you know Bible teaching requires that I'm processing what I'm saying? So I want to preach that Jesus died for your sins, and I come here and I'm speaking in something I don't understand. Then they believe. How do I know what they believed? Glory to God. Are you getting what I'm saying? The speaker himself must be able to process the thoughts. Bible teaching is intelligent. Hallelujah. So these are very important things. Acts of Apostles 14 and verse 1. Funny enough, I've never seen anybody do that. Praise God. We just used to hear. We've never seen a record. Give us one video where somebody did it. Glory to God. Well, I'm not saying it's a lie. I've just never seen it. Acts of Apostles 14 verse 1. Acts of Apostles 14 1. Are we there? Glory to God. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the what? Greeks, believed. How come in one assembly, Jews and Greeks believed? Was there an interpreter? Was there a language they all could understand? Yes! Hallelujah. Paul did not need extra effort to reach out to both Jews and Greeks. Just like Peter himself. Look at the next one. Acts of Apostles 18 and verse 4. Acts of Apostles 18 and verse 4. Are you following? Acts 18:4. Bible says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and who? And Greeks. In the synagogue. Paul was preaching in the synagogue, sharing the gospel, preaching, reasoning from the scriptures, and he was persuading both Jews and Greeks because there was a language they all understood. Hallelujah. You know, like I said, there's no record of the apostles needing an extra effort, a supernatural enablement, as it were, to reach other nations. They had an understanding of a language. Amen. So when Paul went to the Greeks, he knew what to say. When he had a Jewish audience, he could switch to Hebrew language. In fact, in those days, like I said, most of those guys understood those two languages. Hallelujah. They understood it. So there was no need for them to be relying on tongues to reach out to other nations. It was not necessary. Praise God. Acts of Apostles 19 and verse 10. Acts of Apostles 19:10. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and what? And Greeks. Acts 20:17-21. Acts 20:17-21. Acts 20:17-21. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears, and trials would happen to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Verse 21, let's all read together. Testifying to Jews and also to what? To Greeks. repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, testifying to both what? Jews and what? And Greeks. Was there an extra requirement on the part of Paul to reach them? No. He just entered their midst and spoke as one who had a grasp of that language. Are you aware that Paul was a church planter amongst the Greeks, Gentiles? That was where he had the most of his impact. Gentile nations. What was the requirement? When Jesus called Paul and sent him, was there an extra enablement by the Spirit of God to reach Gentiles? He understood the language. In fact, do you know that the word Paul is a Greek version of Saul? So why did he change his name to Paul? Because of his ministry in the midst of the Gentiles. That's just the Greek version. There's no spiritual meaning to it. Amen. No. You know, the word Paul means little. Say, you see, he has become little in his own eyes. No. Paul is just the Greek version of Saul. Hallelujah. Just as the word Jesus is the Greek version of what? Joshua. Amen. So, you see, because he could change his name easily to a Greek name, already shows something. Hallelujah. So, Paul was a missionary to the Gentiles. And he did not need any extra effort to reach them because he himself could speak Greek. Hallelujah. He could speak Greek. Acts of Apostles 15:12. So, let no one deceive you. Tongues is not for reaching people who cannot understand your language. That's not the essence. Acts 15:12. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the what? Gentiles. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 2 verse 7 to 9. As a missionary among the Gentiles, he had no other need or no other requirement to reach them apart from the fact that he himself had a grasp of the language. He could speak like a Greek. Galatians 2, 7 to 9. Are you still in church? Galatians 2, 7 to 9. So what does it say? But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was committed to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to circumcise also worked effectively in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to who? The Gentiles, and they also to the circumcised. Romans in chapter 15. Romans 15:19. So, Paul was already equipped to minister to the Greeks because he could understand the language. Romans 15:19. Are we all there? Romans 15:19. Paul speaking, and let me start from verse 18. For I would not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum I fully preached the gospel of Christ. So, was there ever a time Paul needed an interpreter? Was there ever a time like that? When Paul got to Athens, did he need an interpreter to reach them? When he got to Corinthians, did he need an interpreter to speak to them? You see those records in the book of Acts. He had a language that he understood, which was the same language of the Greeks. Glory to God. So you see that idea of that the apostles needed a supernatural enablement to reach other nations. He is dead on arrival. It's not scriptural. Praise God. When you factor in everything we have said, it is not scriptural. Praise God. Did you get that? Let's write now. There's no record of him needing an interpreter. Or let's put it all together. Of them. There's no record of them needing interpreters to reach Greek-speaking nations. There's no record of them needing interpreters to reach Greek-speaking nations. Because the Jews could speak the Greek language. There's no record of them needing an interpreter to reach Greek-speaking nations because the Jews could speak the Greek language. Hallelujah. They could speak the Greek language. Amen. So like I said, the name of Paul is a Greek version of Saul. And there's the school of thought that he changed that name because of his missionary assignment in the midst of the Greeks. So let's keep writing. I suspect that this is a grave misconception from Acts 2. I suspect that this is a grave misconception from Acts 2. The idea of them speaking the language of others by the enablement of the Spirit. That's a misconception, a grave misconception from Acts 2. Do you know how this has robbed many believers from speaking in tongues? Something as simple and harmless. It sounds simple and harmless. But that's the reason why some believers will never speak in tongues till tomorrow. Because as they are speaking in tongues, they expect their tongues to be something somebody understands. It's even funny. You don't understand it. Somebody must understand it. So how do you know somebody will not understand what you are saying? How do you know it's not Germany? I mean, German you are speaking. How would you know? So when would you ever speak in tongues? Glory to God. You know, sometimes in a meeting, someone comes out and says, "Ha!" In that meeting, as the man of God began to speak in tongues, a French guy came from the audience and said, "You are speaking my language." And people were like, "Wow!" And then, those are the kind of things. See, you better be a Bible student. Hallelujah. And not learn the things of the Spirit from experiences. In that meeting, the prophet, he began to speak German. As he was speaking German, there was a guy from Germany in the meeting. He came out and said, you were speaking my language. And those are the testimonies flying around. And because of that, believers will never be comfortable with their own tongues. That makes no sense. Glory to God. Do you know your tongues don't make sense? So you will never be comfortable with it. You want to be in a Igbo congregation, and as you are talking in tongues, they are here, Obioma, chuku, 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 bisco. You want them to hear things like that. And then they come and say, are you an Igbo man? Say, no, I'm a Yoruba man. My God, God moved in this place this night. Hallelujah. God even help you. You now enter Biafra matter. Eh? Say, God is here. Say, liberate my people. Liberate my people. Biafra. That's not tongues. Glory to God. It can never be tongues. Amen. So it's a misinterpretation. What happened in Acts 2? Hallelujah. I know we had this before when I taught it. A closer look at the book of Acts. Let's see it again. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Well, before we even get there, let's go back to the earlier text. You know, we saw that this was a prophecy, or tongues was a prophecy in the Old Testament. There was a prophecy about it. Isaiah 28, verse 11 to 12. We have to consult that text to even begin to find out the nature and the origin of tongues. What exactly is it? Isaiah 28, verse 11 to 12. Isaiah 28, 11 to 12. Are you there? It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people," or "these people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing,' yet they would not hear." Hallelujah. For with what? With stammering lips. And I said last week, I mean 2 weeks ago, stammering lips is not English. So it doesn't mean people will be stammering. Hallelujah. You say, that's the reason why when people pray in tongues, they say, ba 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 ba. No. Stammering lips is an Hebrew word. Glory to God. Hebrew word, let's write it down. Stammering lips is an Hebrew word You don't say, ah, now I understand it. That's why, that's why tongue sounds like stammering. No. Stammering lips is an Hebrew word or a Hebrew word. Hallelujah. A Hebrew word, not hallelujah. Hebrew word, L-A-E-G. 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 Oh, sorry. Apostrophe. L-A apostrophe E-G. Which means foreigner. That's the word that means foreigner. How does it sound already? It's a foreign language. Praise God. The word foreign there just means strange. So this means it's a strange language. That's the Hebrew word, L-A apostrophe E-G, which means foreigner. This means it is a strange language. It is also from the root word, lahag, L-A apostrophe A-G. From the Hebrew word, lahag, L-A apostrophe A-G, which means unintelligible speech. Which means unintelligible speech. What does it mean to say something is unintelligible? It means it is not coherent. Hallelujah. Unintelligible speech, which means it is not coherent. It is not something you can understand. Glory to God. Let me give you an example. When a baby begins to attempt to speak, can you understand what the person is saying? The baby is saying many things. Do you know the baby is communicating? You don't know? Yes, the baby is communicating. If it is hunger, the baby is saying something. The problem is you don't understand. But in the land of babies, hallelujah, they understand what they are saying. Glory to God. They understand it perfectly. But it is not known to you. Now, let me say this. Do you know language? Language simply means, language is about what is understood between people who are initiated. That is, there's an initiation, there's a brotherhood, or maybe a cult, or a nation. So, we learn the language, that's an initiation. Nobody else understands, apart from us. That's why there's something called sign language. Do you know the military, for instance, they have sign languages. I mean, a soldier can do like this while passing by you and you don't know what it means. And the soldier behind you understands what it means and gives you a dirty slap. Do you understand? He has given you a sign. He just did like this, but you didn't know. Hallelujah. Sign. So language is not that mysterious. But it is mysterious to the man that does not what? Understand it. Let's keep writing. Let's write now. Unintelligible speech. It means unintelligible speech. Lahog. It is not a learned language. It is not a learned language. It cannot be understood by any man, since it is unintelligible and gibberish in nature. It cannot be understood by any man, since it is unintelligible and gibberish in nature. Hallelujah. It cannot be understood by any man, including the speaker, since it is unintelligible and gibberish in nature. That's what Isaiah meant by, yet they would not hear. That's what Isaiah meant by, yet they would not hear. You know, he says, I'll speak to them with men of stammering lips, yet for all this they will not hear. They will not hear. They will not hear does not mean they will not hear the sound of it. They will not understand the content. Hallelujah. Let's keep writing. That's what Isaiah meant by, yet they will not hear. They will not hear does not mean they will not hear the sound of it, but they will not understand the content of the words. That's right. The word stammering also means something ridiculous and mocking. Something ridiculous and mocking. When people hear it, the natural response should be, hey, what's all this? Praise God. Something ridiculous and mocking. Now listen to me. Do we laugh at languages in the world? Natural languages? No, we do. If you hear somebody else speaking in his own language, does it sound funny to you? It sounds ridiculous. You know, it sounds funny. Especially all those Chinese guys. What's this? And it's funny to you. Do you know even occult guys have their languages? Those things they call incantations. It's not African magic incantation. Where they are just saying nonsense. So, incantations, and it's spiritual language that you cannot decode. Praise God. So, stammering means something ridiculous, something mocking. That is, let's write, that is when people hear it, they ought to deride and laugh or scorn it. They ought to deride, laugh at, or scorn it. They ought to deride, laugh at, or scorn it. Amen. You know, we saw this earlier, how that was the initial response. Or let me say the first response of people on the day of Pentecost. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. That was the first response of the world. When they saw that they were speaking in tongues, they laughed at them. Hallelujah. Acts 2, 12 to 13. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Said, these guys must be drunk. Amen. Because of the things they were saying, they must be drunk. Now back to Isaiah 28 verse 11 to 12. We have seen that this was a prophecy concerning tongues. So it's a new covenant reality. Amen. Now if you notice, Isaiah calls this experience, this is the refreshing. Amen. What is the refreshing? That word refreshing is the word that means rest. The word refreshing, as used at Isaiah 28 verse 12, is the word that means rest. Are you lost? The word refreshing is the word that means rest. Refreshing as used at Isaiah 28 12. Why are you not writing? You're tired. Okay. The word refreshing means rest. Glory to God. That's the word that the apostle Peter also used in Acts 3:19. You know, he used the word refreshing. Two different words, but the same thing. Acts 3:19. Refreshing. Glory to God. Refreshing. Let's see Acts 3:19. So, tongues from that prophecy is something that will be new, that will be strange. It is something that will be unprecedented. It is something that will be novel. It is something that will, you know, the world would not have seen before. And then it says, this is that refreshing where God will cause you to rest. Amen. And you know, the word refreshing also means rest. So it's talking about salvation. So tongues is a fruit of salvation. It's something found only in men that are saved. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles 3:19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Glory to God. Are we there? Acts 3:19. And I'll read. It says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that what? Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. What is the time of refreshing or times of refreshing? Salvation. Is it true that your sins will be what? Blotted out. The aftermath of your sins being blotted out is what it refers to as times of refreshing. Glory to God. Times of refreshing. Now, times of refreshing, because though salvation is a one-time experience or an event, the consequence of that event is continuous. Glory to God. So, when a man is saved, is refreshed of the Lord. Hallelujah. But it can keep being what? Refreshed. Glory to God. Can keep being refreshed. Because the spirit within you is not dormant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you get that? So it's times of refreshing. Funny enough, the word refreshing is the word that also means revival. Praise God. The word refreshing means what? You can put that down. The word refreshing means revival. So at the point of salvation, what happened to us? We were revived. Praise God. We were revived. We were revived. We came alive unto God. We came alive unto God. So times of refreshing. Glory to God. Let's keep writing. So that word, refreshing, at Acts 3:19, is a word figuratively used for revival. Let's write it down. The word anapsusis. A-N-A-P-S-U-X-I-S. Figuratively used for revival. A-N-A-P-S-U-X-I-S. X-I-S. Figuratively used for what? Revival. Glory to God. Amen. So let's keep writing. So Isaiah connects tongues with the refreshing. Isaiah connects tongues with the refreshing. Isaiah connects tongues with the refreshing. Semicolon. Which is the rest of salvation. Isaiah connects tongues with the refreshing. Semicolon. Which is the rest of salvation. I'm still writing. This also makes a strong case. This also makes a strong case for tongues as a new covenant reality. This also makes a strong case for tongues as a new covenant reality. Why is that? Because the refreshing is salvation. And if tongues is connected strictly to it, that means it is something found only in salvation. Glory to God. Let's keep writing. Makes a strong case for tongues as a new covenant reality. Also, from the phrase used for tongues in this prophecy, we've seen that it's a totally new and strange language among men. That is that phrase, stammering lips. Also from the phrase used for tongues in this prophecy, we've seen that it's a totally new language among men. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to Mark 16:17. So, from that prophecy alone, it's already clear that tongues is a new language. It is not an enablement to speak an already existing language. It's the utterance of the Spirit that is totally strange and different and foreign to the world. Glory to God. Don't forget, Isaiah says they will not understand it. Amen. You know, the reason why we can properly translate what Isaiah said or meant by they will not understand or they will not hear it as being that they will not understand the content is because Paul quoted it. 1 Corinthians 14. Paul quoted it in a discourse where he was showing us how that it is impossible for men to understand tongues. We're still getting there tonight. So Mark 16:17-18. Mark 16:17-18. Glory to God. Are we out there? Let's all read together. Mark 16:17-18. And these signs are what? Follow them that. Them that what? Is the sign going to follow unbelievers? It's going to follow those who? Who are those who believe? Did Abraham believe? Did Abraham believe? Did Samson believe? So, but can we apply this to them? Why? Because it says, this sign shall follow them that believe. Because this is sequel to the instruction, go into the world and preach the gospel to every nation. You know, you can have a reckless exegesis. Hallelujah. Them that believe. That means, tekel of fasting. That was tongues. Praise God. Wow. That's how people say, wow. They're not saying, Praise God. In fact, is still good because you don't know what the person is saying. Hallelujah. Can be not a missile. it can be very deep. Wow too on Facebook is like that. You don't know what the person is really saying. It could be wow. Joking. Hallelujah. So these signs will follow them that what? Believe. In my name they shall what? Cast out devils. And they shall what? Speak with new tongues. Did Jesus speak in tongues? I don't know. Hallelujah. Do you get me? Jesus must have spoken. I don't know. It's not recorded. It's not in scriptures. What concerns you and I now is that we should speak in tongues. Praise God. Unnecessary curiosity. So they shall speak with what? New tongues. What is new again? That's the word, what? Kainos. What is kainos? Unprecedented. Novel. Strange. New. Glory to God. No, we are trying to see the nature of tongues before we get to Acts 2. You know, because when you have all this well cleared out and sorted, Acts 2 will not be difficult. So it is not language that exists. Do we agree? It is new tongues. Strange language. Let's write it again. The word new is from the Greek word kainos. Kainos is spelled K-A-I-N-O-S. It's from the Greek word kainos, which means of a new kind. New tongues, kainos, of a new kind, unprecedented, novel, uncommon. Unprecedented, novel, uncommon. I like this one. Unheard of. Unheard of. And the word tongues is from the Greek word glossa. So when they say tongues, you know, it sounds like plural, but it's singular. It's just a language. That's the word glossa. It means language. That's the Greek word glossa, which means language. So let's put it together. What does that mean? New what? Language. So is tongues a new language? Yes. So on the day of Pentecost, what were they saying? The language of Arab, Cretans, Greeks, or a new language? What did the audience hear as tongues? Was it a new language? Praise God. I'm not setting a trap for you. Was it a new language they heard? Yes. Praise God. So let's go there. No, before then, let's also note this. The word another, as used at Isaiah 28:11. The word another, as used at Isaiah 28:11, is the Hebrew word A-C-H-E-R. A-C-H-E-R. Acha. That could be English pronunciation. A-C-H-E-R. Which means different or strange. With men of another tongue. The word another in that particular phrase is the word that means different or strange. Glory to God. So you see, even from the prophecy, it's already clear that the language is a strange language. So this is not human language. Interestingly, let's write. Interestingly, the word used at Acts 2 also means different or strange. Interestingly, the word also used at Acts 2 also means different or strange. Glory to God. Different or strange language. So when we talk about tongues, we are talking about a language that is entirely strange and foreign and different in this world. Something that never existed before. Acts of Apostles 2:1-4. I plead with you, I beseech you by the message of God, enjoy your gibberish. Hallelujah. Enjoy it. Let no man guilt trip you. What are you saying? What are you saying? I don't know. You too, you don't know. Praise God. For it is the language of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we know what it does to us. Hallelujah. That refreshing here is what it does to us. Glory to God. Refreshing. Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. They began to speak with what? Other tongues. Now the word other there is the same word that means strange and different. Let's write. Other tongues is translated from heteros glossa. Other tongues is translated from heteros glossa. Heteros is spelled H-A-H-E-T-E-R-O-S. H-E-T-E-R-O-S. Heteros glossa. Glossa is spelled G-L-O-S-S-A. The word other tongues or phrase is translated from heteros glossa, where the word heteros means strange or another. Where the word heteros means strange or another. Where the word heteros means strange and another. I'm still writing. The word heteros also means one not of the same nature. One not of the same nature. That is, it is not just a different language. It is a language that is not of the same nature like the language of men. One not of the same nature. Because, listen, it can be a strange language to you, but then it is of the same nature with the languages of the world. That is, it can be learned. But this particular one is a language not of the same nature as the languages of the world. So it's not language you can learn. Hallelujah. Not of the same nature, form, class, kind. Not of the same nature, form, kind, or class. Praise God. So, listen. So this means this is not any of the languages. Whatever they were speaking at Acts 2:4 is not any of the languages listed in Acts 2. Do we agree with this? Whatever they were saying in Acts 2:4 is not any of the languages listed in Acts 2 entirely. In all those languages that they mentioned, it cannot be. Do we agree with this? Yeah, it cannot be. Because it is other tongues. Heteros glossa. A different, strange, different, not of the same class or the same kind or the same nature. Like the languages of the world. So I know that the confusion arises from verses 6 to 11. So let's look at it carefully. Acts chapter 2, verse 6 to 11. Glory to God. Acts 2, 6 to 11. And I'm going to help you think. You know, there are things to factor in when you are reading the book of Acts. Especially this account. There were a multitude of people there, right? So let's see how some of those things were reported. And between you and I, let's see if it's possible for somebody to report from a multitude like that. As though they all appointed a speaker to talk for them. So let's see. So you see, some of those things were the writer's insertion, the way he described the whole scenario. Acts chapter 2, verse 6. Are we there? And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own words. In his own language. So the multitude, right? Heard them speak in what? In their own language. Is that right? Verse 7. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the part of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, that's the problem. All these languages. Are these guys not Galileans? Glory to God. Why is it that we hear them speak in our own language? Now listen. Was there somebody telling Luke that we heard them speak in Cretans, Arab? Let's assume those all those languages are different languages. Does one man understand all those languages? To know that somebody was speaking in Arab, and somebody was speaking in Cretans, and somebody was speaking in this and this and this. Now, take your mind back to verse 10. He already summarized all these guys. Who are these guys? Jews and what? Proselytes. Praise God. So, listen. The first question to ask is this. Let's write. The first question to ask is this. First question to ask is this. What did these people come to do? Right? What did they come to do? All this multitude of people, what exactly did they come to do? What did they come to do? Can you? Pentecost, right? They came to celebrate Pentecost. What is Pentecost? The feast of the Jews, right? So, it could only admit Jews or who? Proselytes. Glory to God. So when it says, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews and devout men in that particular time, who were those they referred to as devout men? It's either you were a Jew or you were what? A proselyte. And those were the caliber of people at this feast. Men who already knew Pentecost was a feast of the Jews. As a matter of fact, what I'm saying is this. You had no business coming to celebrate Pentecost if you were not a Jew or a proselyte. It's like trying to, of course, there's a madness today. They are doing Halloween in America. Somebody is here also doing costume. That's madness. Praise God. In those days, you had no business celebrating those things if you were not there. Hallelujah. Or if you did not belong to the Jews. Not only was it unnecessary, the Jews would exclude you. Are you aware? So this is not, I want to join them. I don't want to join them. It's not your choice. The only thing that qualified you to be a part of them was the fact that you were circumcised. Do you know to not be circumcised and to partake of the feast was to defile the feast? Just the same way, you could not just enter their temples. Do you get this? So you have to be a Jew or what? A proselyte. Now, having sorted that, the next question, let's write. The next question to ask is, why were they shocked hearing them speak in their own language? Why were they shocked hearing them speak in their own language? I mean, what's so shocking? Yeah, you speak in my language. What's so shocking about that? Glory to God. You know, they said, are these not Galileans? Why are they speaking in a language? What's so shocking about that? Let's not forget all that we went through in the beginning. What did we clarify from the beginning? That there were common what? Languages. So, what is meant to be shocking? That a Galilean was speaking Greek or Hebrew or what? What's to be shocking in that? So, why were they shocked? What was the first thing these guys witnessed when they came? What were they saying when these guys came? Tongues. Are you aware? When the sound came and they began to talk in tongues, you know the crowd were not gathered then. It was the sound that drew the attention. Right? So when the crowd assembled or when the multitude came together, what did they find them speaking? Tongues. Amen. So, are you aware? Listen now. Are you aware that they refer to them as being drunk? Right? They said they were drunk. Now, if you look at Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 15, that's where you find Peter's defense. Acts 2:15. Glory to God. Acts 2:15. For these are not drunk as you what? As you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. Why did they think they were drunk
If all they heard was their language. Did you get that? So, the shock was not really about the fact that they were speaking their language. It was the transitioning. Seeing them speaking things that were unfamiliar to them and saying things that sounded familiar. Let's write this. The shock of the audience was not really about hearing their own language. The shock of the audience was not really about hearing their own language. The shock was not really about hearing their own language. They couldn't have considered them drunk. They couldn't have considered them drunk if what they heard from start to finish was their language. They couldn't have considered them drunk if what they heard from start to finish was their language. The reason they thought they were drunk was most likely because of the alternating, between what's familiar and what's unfamiliar to them. Was most likely because of the alternating between what's familiar and what's unfamiliar to them. Glory to God. I mean, I could give you an illustration. If somebody walks into this place, you know, Paul said, if an unbeliever comes into your midst and he hears you all speaking in tongues, he will think you are what? That's the same thing we're saying. He will think you are mad. So suddenly, from talking in tongues, and I switch back to Yoruba, an unbeliever's reaction could be, okay. If what I'm saying in my language does not minister to him, he may consider me drunk. If it ministers to him, he may also still consider me drunk. I mean, what was he saying before? Now, that might not be the reaction today because tongues is already popular. Are you aware? That reaction on the day of Pentecost was because the idea of tongues was strange. Nobody had been seen doing that before. So the first encounter with it was strange. And then they saw them talking in a familiar language. These guys are drunk. Hallelujah. Are you following? Let's write. There's also a school of thought. That says that there was a supernatural enablement for those people to hear the tongues in their own language. There's also a school of thought that says there was a supernatural enablement for those people to hear tongues. To hear the tongues in their own language. Let's keep writing. But there's no validation for this in the entire Bible. There's no validation or support for this in the entire Bible. Glory to God. So look up. I said, the reason why they were shocked must have been because they saw them alternating between what's unfamiliar and what's familiar. Glory to God. You know, if you are doing tongues and prophecy, you know that most times you shift from tongues to understanding. Sometimes to get more understanding or more words, you go back to tongues, you come back. So that must have been what played out. Glory to God. That's why when Peter was to give a defense, you know, he was referencing prophecy. Acts 2:16. That was what he referenced as the fulfillment, as what those guys could hear. Acts 2:16. Glory to God. Acts 2:16. From 15 again. For these are not drunk as you supposed, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall what? Prophesy. Hallelujah. Do you know two of these were fulfilled on the day of Pentecost? What appeared to them? Tongues of what? Fire. How did they see that? was a vision. And then prophecy. Glory to God. Now, he mentioned prophecy twice. Now, look at verse 33. Let me start from verse 32. He says, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we all are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and watch and hear." And then, you know, he was citing prophecy. And he mentioned prophecy twice. Because, listen, that was the only thing those guys could have understood. If you, from Acts 2, a careless reading of Acts 2, just quickly conclude, well, it must have been that God was speaking supernaturally through them to reach those guys. Or you fall on the other side of the extreme that says, well, that must have been that God opened their ears to hear supernaturally what they were saying in a different language. You will have been wrong. And you would have no support for this in the entire scriptures. There's no validation for such a school of thought. Because that's not how Paul taught it. Glory to God. What they could have understood is what? Prophecy. Now, isn't this the same thing that played out in the house of Cornelius? Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 46. The same thing. Let's see. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. To 46. Glory to God. Acts 10:44 to 46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and do what? And magnify God. Did the apostles understand their tongues? Let me say the apostle Peter and those who followed him. Did they understand the tongues of those guys? What is the magnifying God there? That's what they could understand. Prophecy. Glory to God. So that's the same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost. That's why Peter was referencing prophecy as what those guys could see and hear. Glory to God. Let's continue. Now, like I said, this is the only consistent thing with every other place where Paul explains the gifts of spirit. Thank God we took a while explaining 1 Corinthians 14, seeing some of the things in there. So, we already have a background to what I'm about to say. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. Prophecy is the only thing an unbeliever can understand. Amen. Prophecy is the only thing that works. An unbeliever can understand. If you are praying in tongues and an unbeliever comes in, he cannot understand what you are saying unless there's what? Prophecy. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. Tongues is gibberish and it is gibberish for life. Amen. It is not anything somebody will understand. The day we understand your tongues is the day you switch from tongues to prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14. Glory to God. And from verse 2. Let me start from verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But especially that you may what? Prophesy. You know the background of 1 Corinthians 14. Or let me say the emphasis of that discourse. Is a need for men to do what? To prophesy. Why? So that the hearers can what? Comprehend what you're saying. So it goes to verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to who? So when they were speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost, we are trying to apply it practically. Were they speaking to them? No. Hallelujah. Does not speak to men. Who is he speaking to? To God. So what was the tongues for on the day of Pentecost? Let's move on. But for no one understands him, however in the spirit he does what? He speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks what? Edification and exhortation and comfort to who? So, what is prophecy? Or who is prophecy directed to? To men. So what did they hear on the day of Pentecost that they understood? Prophecy. It couldn't have been tongues, because tongues is not to men. You have no business with it in the first place. Hallelujah. Tongues to God, prophecy to men. Is this clear? So let's continue. Verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies what? The church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more, that he what? That he prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may also receive what? Edification. Now when it says the church, the word church there is the word ecclesia. It does not necessarily mean the gathering of the saints alone. It's the word that means an assembly. That's why in this same chapter, Paul brings in an unbeliever into the picture. So the word church here is used for the assembly. If you speak in a gathering, in an assembly, in the midst of men, it could be believers, it could be unbelievers. It could be unbelievers in the midst of believers. Glory to God. As it was on the day of Pentecost. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 again. Let's see from verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever and an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. Hallelujah. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly where among you. Glory to God. So an unbeliever could be found in that gathering, in that assembly. That's the word ecclesia. That's the same word used for the congregation in the wilderness. Glory to God. So, of course, it defines the local church, it defines the church, the body of Christ in many places, but I'm saying it also can involve unbelievers in the midst, because it is simply an assembly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what I'm trying to say is that the word church is not exclusive to the body of Christ, or exclusive to the Christian faith. It just means assembly. Glory to God. Let's keep following. So, back to 1 Corinthians 14, and then at verse, we got to verse 5. Unless the man speaks prophecy, he will not edify the hearers. Right? So, how does edification come to men? They must understand what is said. Right? There must be an interpretation. Now let's see verse 6 to 11. Verse 6 to 11. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you by what? By revelation. So Paul is saying, I cannot profit you as a man if I come to you speaking with what? Unless I speak by what? Revelation. So on the day of Pentecost, did the audience profit from what they were doing when they were praying in tongues? No, they couldn't have. Hallelujah. They couldn't have. In fact, at verse 2 that we saw, 1 Corinthians 14, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks what? Mysteries. What is the word mystery? Mysterion. What is mysterion? Something hidden. Something you cannot understand. Glory to God. Unless there is what? An interpretation. So there's mystery being spoken. The man does not understand it until he has an interpretation. Back to 1 Corinthians 14, 6. Now to verse 7. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So likewise you, unless you do what? Unless you do what? Utter by the tongue what is easy to what? Understand. How will it be known what is spoken? You know, Paul is such a detailed preacher. If there was any exception to this rule, Paul would have noted it in 1 Corinthians 14. Paul is saying, see. Nobody can understand tongues without interpretation. So the idea of it is tongues they were saying, people now heard it in their language, is not consistent with what Paul is teaching. Because Paul is saying people cannot understand tongues unless there's what? Interpretation. And the interpretation, the burden of the interpretation is not on the hearer. Right? No, it's not on the hearer. That's why the focus is on the speaker. So as you speak in tongues, you must endeavor to what? To interpret. Because without the interpretation, the audience will not understand. Glory to God. Are we here together? So, it says, for you'll be speaking into the air. There are, as it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world. And none of them is without significance. However, or therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks. And he who speaks will be what? A foreigner to me. Glory to God. He who speaks will be a foreigner what? To me. So on the day of Pentecost, they could not have understood what they were saying. Don't forget Isaiah 28. With men of what? Stammering lips. And we say that means foreign. There was no way they could have understood what was being said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's write. That's right. You see how Paul did not in any way. You see how Paul did not in any way suggest. See how Paul did not in any way suggest that the hearer can get the meaning of tongues without the interpretation. See how Paul did not in any way suggest that the hearer can get the meaning of tongues without the interpretation. If such exists, you know how? Let me repeat that. You see how Paul did not in any way suggest that the hearer can get the meaning of tongues without the interpretation. If such exists, he would have noted such an exception. If such exists, he would have noted such an exception. Hallelujah. He would have noted such an exception. On the contrary, it says even the speaker does not understand what he is saying. On the contrary, it says even the speaker does not understand what he is saying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, listen. If there was an exception to this rule, if it was possible for the hearer to understand tongues without interpretation, Paul wouldn't have written these things in absolute terms. He would have given room for, you know, such, or given allowance. For instance, when he says, if anyone speaks in tongues, let it be two or three at the most, and let one interpret. If there's no interpreter, let him see. He would not have said it that way. It would have been, let him speak in tongues, and the Lord will grant them understanding. Don't you know that's what we are saying? When we say, they were speaking in tongues, and they understood it. It meant, what we are saying, the interpretation is that they were speaking in tongues and God granted them understanding. So, Paul would have just said the same. But you see, Paul taking his time to say, see, guys, you have to interpret if you are to edify men. You can't speak in tongues and expect people to just understand it. There's no such thing as God opening the inner ears. Amen. Of those people. Listen, though, these are believers. You know, Paul is writing strictly to a church. If believers will not understand tongues without it being interpreted, how much more unbelievers on the day of Pentecost? Then those guys must be very spiritual. Hallelujah. By what spirit exactly would they have gotten the interpretation? Amen. Pneumaticus, call. Hallelujah. Pneumaticus, call. There's no way. So, and I remember saying in that teaching that I did on a closer look at the book of Acts, I said, you must always interpret the account of Acts with the epistles. Don't ever make the mistake. Glory to God. All the people that push that narrative are talking strictly from Acts 2 alone. And they've not also factored in many of the things I walked you through. How that the world had common languages. Amen. Common languages. So the Jews and the proselytes did not need anything spectacular to understand what was being said, apart from the gift of prophecy or interpretation of tongues. Amen. And what they were speaking on the day of Pentecost, what the Holy Ghost gave them as utterance, was not a language that could be understood by any man. It's what? Utterance. It's a strange, different language. Glory to God. You see, if you put all these things together, you discover that there is no way you would advance the notion that tongues is an ability of the Spirit to speak another man's language and be right. There's no way. Glory to God. Let's look at all the angles again. See what Jesus calls it. Kainos. Glossa. It is something new. Unprecedented. It is novel. It's not heard anywhere. See Isaiah. Glory to God. See Isaiah's prophecy. The same. So where do we get the notion? It is not scriptural. Amen. So you would have to sneak it in. You have to insist. You have to be very stubborn. Hallelujah. to keep pushing that kind of narrative. Glory to God. It does not exist. Amen. Tongues is not the language of any man. It's not the language of any man. So let's close this now. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. See how Paul says, even the man praying himself does not understand what he's saying. He has no understanding of the things being said. It's a mystery both to him and to the hearer. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. So my understanding, what is the understanding? Your mind. That's the word nous in the Greek. Let's write. The word understanding in the Greek is the word nous. N-O-U-S. Which means intellect or mind. The word understanding in the Greek is the word nous. And it means intellect or mind. Glory to God. Intellect or mind. So your mind cannot make any sense out of what is being said. So your mind cannot make any sense out of what is being said. Your mind cannot make any sense out of what is being said. But your spirit knows. But your what? Your spirit knows. Glory to God. You know, Paul says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. Glory to God. There's dialogue happening between your spirit and God. And your spirit has good understanding of what is happening. Amen. That is, in other words, you are making sense in the spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're not making sense to us. You're not making sense in the natural, but you are making sense in the spirit. What you are saying makes sense. In fact, what you are saying makes more sense than what people say in their understanding. That's what Paul said. You give thanks well. But the only problem is the other person does not understand. But you're already giving thanks well. If I have 10,000 tongues, it will not be enough just speaking tongues. It is enough. Hallelujah. Do you get that? If you speak in tongues, it is what? Enough. Because you're already giving thanks well. Glory to God. So you are making sense in the spirit. Glory to God. The NLT says, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I am saying. That is your mind. The understanding is futile. So let's write. So the understanding comes via the gift of interpretation. So the understanding comes via the gift of interpretation. The understanding comes via the gift of interpretation to the speaker for others. Comes via the gift of interpretation to the speaker for others. Glory to God. Not that the hearer who is not born again understands your tongues. Not that the hearer who is not born again understands your tongue. Your tongues. That's abnormal. Glory to God. You know, we've seen, even believers who have the Spirit of God cannot understand it unless you interpret it for them. How much more an unbeliever? Doesn't make sense. Glory to God. And you know, I also said that the burden of interpretation rests on who? The speaker. If there will be meaning given to whatever you are saying, it will come from the speaker to others. That's right. So it's a myth and fallacy. It's a myth and fallacy that tongues is a supernatural enablement to speak another man's language. It's a myth and fallacy that tongues is a supernatural enablement to speak another man's language. It's a myth and fallacy that tongues is a supernatural enablement to speak another man's language. I'm still writing. Tongues is not human language. Tongues is not human language. It is a new and strange language found in Christ. It is a new and strange language found in Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So brethren, don't be under pressure to speak another man's language. That's not your language. That's not tongues in Christ. That's not your reality in Christ. That is not what God has given you in Christ Jesus. What God has given us in Christ Jesus is another kind of language. A language that does not exist before. A language that is different from the languages of the world. A language that is customized. Praise God. It is just between you and your Father. It makes sense only to you and your Father. Hallelujah. Imagine. It makes sense just to you and your Father. How best can you explain the intimacy of our fellowship? That I have a language that when I begin to speak it, only God understands it. Hallelujah. Nobody else. Shut everybody out of that conversation. It's just me and God. Hallelujah. It's so intimate. It's so intimate. Glory to God. It's so intimate. You know, sometimes people get married and then in the course of their relationship or in the course of the marriage, they have certain things they say to themselves that it's just between them. Nobody else can understand it. See the depth of union and fellowship we have with the Father. See the depth of relationship we have been called into. Hallelujah. See the depth of union and relationship. That when I begin to speak now, God understands what I'm saying. And no one else understands. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give Him praise. Enjoy the gibberish nature of tongues. That is exactly what it is. That is exactly what it is. That is exactly the privilege of the new covenant. That nobody else is involved. Listen. When you begin to pray in tongues and someone says, I don't understand. Do you know what you're meant to say? Mind your business. Hallelujah. Mind what? This is between me and my Father. Hallelujah. Mind your business. Hallelujah. Aproko. Mind your business. It does not concern you. Hallelujah. It's about me and my Father. I'm doing business with the Father of the Spirit. I'm doing business with the Father of Spirits. What I'm saying is between me and God. It's intimate. Hey! It's intimate. It's about me and God. Every other person is meant to mind his business. Listen. Mind your business. Simple. When the Father wants to involve you, then he'll give me prophecy. Hallelujah. When it is time for him to concern you, I will speak prophecies. For now, it's just me and my God. Lift your hands and give Him praise. It's just me and the Father. Hallelujah.
Do business with your father. It does not concern me. I have my own business to mind. It's just me and the Father. It's a personal business. It's my business, not your business. You better find a good spot and also go and pray in tongues. It's not your business. It's my business with the Father of Spirits. Retulaska tula glabra gabayandos. Fele 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 tele tiliya tila glag 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 tiliya tila da. Ela glag glag lo 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 chori gela no higi basare de 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 de. Hey, ela polo chori gela glag 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 basata la ta. Hava yenteles ke tolo chori gela lo shpa pa 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 ya tila glag glag ya tila ka. Eya glanos ka tele 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 gela no higi basare bara tiliya. Listen to me. A Christian must grow a thick skin for mockery. You grow a thick skin for mockery. Reproach, slander, makes no difference. When I began to pray in tongues, people would laugh at tongues. People would like, you know what I began to do? I began to talk loudly in their midst. Hallelujah. I remember one particular night, we had to walk from spots in Ife down to the Buka. The Buka. The pathway to that Buka is a place where a lot of people are passing, students, everybody. So, and we were praying in tongues loudly. And people were laughing. Yeah, really? And they, you know, we kept at it. What were we trying to do? We're trying to build a thick skin for mockery. Because it makes no difference. Hallelujah. Those mockers are people who have nothing else to offer you. You're about to say, Allah in Nikonji. Praise God. Instead of you to come and find out how to operate in it, you'll be laughing at us. No problem. So you grow a thick skin by getting louder. Look at the apostles. Even when they were preaching the gospel, were they not mocked, slandered, as being deluded, following a certain Jesus? What did they do? They grew bolder by speaking all the more. So when men mock tongues and they mock the operation of the Spirit, you should be more wild in demonstration. Hallelujah. You should be more what? More wild. Because it's your thing. Amen. It may not make sense to them, but it makes sense to you. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost as we close. Yela la 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 bala tetele dorieta. Raka tulas gata kakakakalasha. Gagaloro godo belaju de vele gere tere gere hiri gibale ne vele gere gere neri tula. Shela toria de la broko belaju de vele gere tiri tula. Raka tega bashata. Think a song or two and close. Kala balashka de deri yadila. Broke up the guru toriya tiliya, tiliya 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 di ne ne ne. Hey! Woo! Hele gele bele gele turigi ba 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 shela ba glendu diskete. Relulish kete 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 gele la lush kita rata. Garata le galatos katiriya de lonto le gele no rigi ba shala de. Halen ne nu ne 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 balati yadila ne 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 la ne yadila ge yade. Hey yade yade la balakala da yadila praga ba ba shala de ne 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 ne. Fremala kala baka 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 bala baka bala galati de gele no rigi ba shala de yadila la gaba ya chala ge. Yadila turigi ba shala kata 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 lien de los ke yanda. Fono no tu skatule grege gebe shege chebele cherie chila kata. Kala kata kata kala bala gara dirie chila. It's a personal affair. It's a personal business with the Father. Here bele tu rige bala gulem brugo bele gede brugo bele gede no rige bele gede ne rige bele gede la ga 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 ga. Get on the mic and let's sing. Hey. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. And behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us.
Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us.
Behold
what manner of love the Father has given unto us.
Behold
what manner of love the Father has given unto us.
Listen. You know, sometimes people say you can come to the Father and be real with Him. Just be real with Him in prayer. If you have any challenge, complain to Him. Be real. The way to be real is to pray in tongues.
Hallelujah.
You will now discover that you had complaints, you had challenges, you had bad feelings, negative feelings. And as you began to pray in tongues, when you were done praying in tongues, you just felt different. Without complaint. Because you had an intimate talk with the Father that allayed your fears. Boldness comes. You see, listen, nobody gets better by complaining to God. The instruction is to not be full of complaints and murmurings. I don't know why a preacher would be encouraging believers to complain to God when God in His word says, don't complain. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Do not be anxious for anything. But everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, we're often tempted by our feelings. And say, God, that guy, that boy, that girl, that lady, he cheated me. That, you want to be real with God. You're not being real. Your reality in Christ is tongues. Hallelujah. That's how to be real with God. Get into tongues. Go ahead and pray tonight. That's how to be real with God. When you follow your senses and your feelings and your understanding, you will misjudge God. You will say things you ought not to say. You will utter things you will regret. go ahead and burst out in tongues instead. Hallelujah. Listen. When you say things based on your feelings, your state of mind, the circumstances, you will misjudge God. That's when you start saying, I use faithful like this. God, with all I have done. See, if you had converted that energy to praying in tongues, you know what you will do? You will give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You will have been given thanks. Hallelujah. Not mind. You see, Paul and Silas found themselves in the prison. They prayed and sang hymns. The natural thing to have done in that situation was to complain. But they rather prayed. Hallelujah. Because that's how to be real with God. I've seen people go from complaining against God, talking angrily against God, to becoming atheists. It doesn't get better. Hallelujah. Some don't become atheists, they become weaker. They grow weaker. You know, your words are so powerful. With every layer of utterance, you are either getting weaker or stronger. Weaker or stronger. My life, look at it. Nothing is working. And that's the way you will not see hope again. You just be seeing hopelessness. The way to get real with God is by praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Before you see anything, just burst out in tongues. Just burst out in tongues. And give Him glory. And give Him praise. And give Him adoration. And love Him. And we're not here to complain about the many problems. By your Spirit and your grace, we're confident you solve them. We're here to say, we love you. We're here to say, I'm here to say, I love you. We're here to say, Spirit and your grace, we're confident you
are. We're not here to complain.
We are not here to complain about the many problems. By your Spirit and your grace, we're confident you solve.
We are here to say,
we love you.
We are here to say,
When we
relate with the Father based on our senses and our feelings, we are communicating what we feel in our flesh, hallelujah, in our body. But you know, the man that prays in tongues is praying based on the Spirit. Amen. You see, there will never be a time when your spirit will want to grumble against God. Because your spirit is assured in the reality that though our outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. That's his own reality. He's not even seeing all these pressures. Hallelujah. That's why we don't rely on those things. We rather just do it in the Spirit. Because whenever we do it in the Spirit, we'll always be right. Hallelujah. Whenever you do it in the spirit, you always be what? You always be right. Thank you, Jesus, for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the entrance of your word. Thank you for understanding and clarity. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you because we make progress. We make progress. We give ourselves more to the exercise of this gift that you have bestowed on us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give our offerings quickly now. We're here to say we love you. We are here to say
we adore you, Lord.
We adore you.
We are here to say
we're here to say
that we love you, Lord.
We love you.
We love to love you, Lord. We love to love you.
We love to love you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Expecting you powerfully on Saturday. Come out for outreach. And then on Sunday. Hallelujah. On what? On Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's day. Glory to God. I'm going to be here 10 hours in the word and prayers. Have a great time of edification. Your life will not remain the same. Amen. Your life will not remain the same. Listen. You will not just come and go back with improved understanding and knowledge. You will feel differently. Amen. You know, many times people say, it's not about your feelings. Well, I agree. But you will enter into a point where it will change your feelings. So you will leave the meeting with a renewed emotion. You will start feeling different. Hallelujah. Do you know you can feel like praying? Yes. You get to a point where your feelings will catch up. That will happen to you in that meeting. Glory to God. Don't miss it for anything. Amen. 9 a.m. down to 7 p.m. Meeting is closed tonight. Say hi to somebody. We love to love you, Mom. Yes, we love. Yes, we love.
We love.
We love to love you, Mom.